It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community.
Here we go.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
It's so good to be back.
Good to be back.
Yay.
What has been your joy?
So my joy, I mean, like following the episode that we recorded before about new seasons, it really gives me joy sometimes when I plant things, or like when I look at my flowers, when I look at my patio, which I'm trying to make green and beautiful. So last weekend I planted some spinach and I planted some cilantro, and I was looking at it today and it started sprouting. So I'm so excited nice. By that. And I hope I get to harvest it, because I've harvested cilantro from my patio before and I used it to cook.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So hopefully I can harvest that spinach and I can harvest the cilantro and I'll be like a fully certified farmer. That's what brought me joy. What about you, Jenny?
Beautiful. I think what really brought me joy is being able to reconnect with you again and start recording again.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I've missed it. I love the rest break that we had. It was much needed. But it feels natural to be back here to record again, to have these conversations with you. I feel so safe with you to have these conversations. So that's what brought me joy.
I feel safe too. And just to like highlight what you said about rest, did you know that episode about rest resonated with so many people?
Yes.
It was like, yeah. And we were just, you know, talking about our lives. And anyway, we're glad it resonated with so many of you. And this week this time we're going to dive into something that we consider very deep. And this is just to warn those who are listening to us that if you're probably going to be triggered by grief, that's what we're going to dive into. Mm-hmm. If you need a minute to breathe, or if you just want to switch this off until a time when you're able to, please go ahead. But we're diving into grief for this particular season.
Yeah. And to be transparent, we actually tried to record this episode before, but it was really hard for me. I thought it was what I needed to help my process of grieving a loss of a friend in a really tragic accident, and I just wasn't ready. I thought I was ready, and you can, like, everything manifested so painfully that showed me I was not ready to talk about this. So we have tried before.
We have indeed,
like, time and time again to try to record this episode.
Right. And in that moment, I think I really appreciated, in that moment when we tried to record it before and it was quite triggering for Jenny, I really appreciated the fact that she could communicate, because I think we had a very raw conversation off the mic, and it also made me appreciate our friendship and our connection in that moment.
It was just very honest.
Yeah.
And I think we both were honest in the moment, and we both received the honesty and understand that it came from love and hurt, but it's not to attack, you know? I like still felt that our friendship was like really special, because in that moment I felt safe enough to be able to like be completely honest, and you the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a huge learning for like our friendship, but also like it really showed how much grief can affect somebody.
And everything else.
And everything around them.
Right.
Yeah.
For me, grief, I understand grief right now in a way that I never did before. And I think someone could look at how I appear in life, because I've had so many people, one, describe me as joy.
Yeah.
Many people always describe me as joy. In fact, I want to get a tattoo, joy. That's one of my
things. You are the epitome of joy.
Joy, yeah. That's one of my things this year. But I've also had people describe me as someone that smiles always has a ready smile. Mm-hmm. And I know that I do. And in that moment, I really smile. But I also have developed a very, for lack of a better phrase, I've developed a very intimate relationship with grief over the past. Since 2008.
Yeah.
In different layers, continuously.
Yeah.
And I can hold space for grief.
Yeah.
Easily. And grief is not really a very acceptable thing in our society, and many people are not comfortable with it. But I think the past 20 years, I can hold mm-hmm. that emotion. And it's hard, but I can hold yeah. it, and I understand it. And, you know, when I see people like going through loss or grieving, I get it 100%. Mm-hmm. And when we conceived this idea, I had to go and look at the dictionary definition of grief. Because I think sometimes we can talk about grief. Grief is this, grief is that. But sometimes going back to the basic definition sort of like opens a certain understanding of it. And according to the Oxford Languages, grief is a deep sorrow, or is deep sorrow that usually caused by loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this was something that I also read. Grief is an emotional state that just knocks you off your feet and comes over you like a wave. So it's different than grieving.
Mm.
In this article, I read that grieving has a time component to it. Yeah. So it's grieving is what happens as we adapt to the fact that our loved one is gone and we're carrying that absence of them. So grieving is, you know, a form of learning. You're like learning how to be in a world without someone that we love in it. That was a quote from the article that I was reading.
Mm-hmm.
And they also stated that like the reason that this distinction makes sense is grief is a natural response to loss. So we'll feel grief forever.
Oh, yes.
But grieving means that our relationship to that grief changes over time.
I mean, that's deep.
Yeah. When I read that, I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that distinction is so important. And it just reminds me of what I also came across, which is almost similar to yours. There's a difference between grief and mourning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not things I really took time to think about. But like when you talk about that, the time component to grieving, and then grief is the reaction to loss.
Mm-hmm.
That's what grief is. But then mourning is the outward expression of these feelings. And it could be crying.
Mm-hmm.
It could be dressing in black. That just that. And yeah. I feel like that's good. And it can have a time component to it because it's the outward.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, it's sometimes important to understand these. Because, you know, loss is part of life. That's the truth. That's mm-hmm. the honest truth. I think we could go around and want to be happy 24/7, want to be joyous 24/7, want to listen to great news all the time, which is good. But the truth is there's other parts of life that are not so pleasant, but it is a part of life. Just like they say, you know, mm-hmm. taxes are sure, death is sure. Loss is something that's really a part of life and could happen in, you know, different waves, different magnitudes, different times in our lives.
But you don't know that feeling of grief until you experience it. We can 100. Read about it. We can know that these are definite things.
Mm-hmm.
But until you really experience grief in a really profound or deep way, I don't think you can really understand it.
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
Because that was really hard. That was really hard for me. I know that you've, you know, since 2008, that must have been so hard for you. So how was that for you when you first experienced grief like that deeply?
So it's now in hindsight that I can actually put a time season to a grief over the past 20 years. In that moment, it was hard, but I wasn't really thinking about it. But the first time that I came face to face, because I think all these others were losses and I was grieving, you know, continuous grieving. But the first time where I couldn't control it was when my mom died. Mm-hmm. And the thing about my mom's death was it was sudden. She wasn't sick, you know, because sometimes if someone's sick, you could expect it. I was just hanging out in my living room and my dad called and it's like, your mom died. And I was like, man, this guy is joking. But that was like the first time that I was like, oh my goodness. And the thing is, that's what we call sudden loss.
Yeah.
Sudden loss usually comes with a component of trauma. And I've been working. So my grieving process, the grief that comes with the loss of my mother, has been ongoing since the end of 2016. And it is only until last year that I was able to process that trauma that happened in 2016. I just processed that last year, you know, through therapy. And just like you said, it's like a wave. Sometimes the waves are high, mm-hmm. really high. You feel like you're drowning. And sometimes they're low, you know, you can walk through, like, you know, at the shore of the beach, you can, you know, those waves that, you know, lapping at your feet. And yeah, it's been hard, you know, I could talk about all kinds of losses that I've had, but maybe before I go into that, in my research, if it's okay, can I talk about the different types of grief that I came across that kind of like made me understand that loss can be different and can be experienced in a different way for different kinds of people. It's not just death. Like, you know, we know it's not just death. But anyway, types of grief I came across, and I'm going to be really quick. Normal grief, which is basically the typical reaction when coping with loss. And it could be even just loss of your toy. It could be that. Mm-hmm. But it could also be the loss of your pet. And then we have anticipatory grief, which is felt before the actual loss happens. Like, let's say you have a loved one that's been diagnosed with a terminal illness. Mm. So then you grieve that before it actually happens. Then we have prolonged grief, which is when a person's grief is intense and ongoing for so many weeks. And usually these people that are facing prolonged grief can tend to feel better with therapy. It's not always a guarantee, but therapy usually helps them. Then we have sudden loss, which is what I experienced when my mom died. It's unexpected. It can lead to shock initially. And usually people that go through sudden loss, there's an element of trauma to it that someone has to actually walk through once they get to that point when they're ready to. Then there's, oh, English is kind of hard, but I think I'm going to pronounce this right. Disenfranchised grief. Yeah. Did I pronounce that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So this is the grief. It's not always socially accepted. Grief is not always a socially acceptable emotion. So this kind of grief happens when your loss is not accepted by society, right? For example, if you lose, trigger word, if you lose someone to suicide, you might not be able to grieve as openly or as comfortably. Or like, this also made me think about Black people. I'm not trying to like be on Black people's side, but like sometimes they'll tell Black people, get over it. Slavery happened 400 years ago. Mm. Like sometimes they're not accepting that Black people can still grieve, you know, what they've lost over centuries. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then the secondary loss, which occurs after primary loss, such as sometimes death or divorce or a traumatic event. And like, I'll give an example of this. So for example, you lose a child, all right? The secondary grief that could happen later on is you lose that parent-child relationship, and then you see your children lose that sibling relationship. So like those secondary moments that come along the initial loss. And then there's the anniversary grief, which can come and go in waves, like we talked about initially, like first anniversary of someone's passing, second anniversary, or even like losing a house, you know, those kinds of, you know, anniversary grief. And then the one that this I found on Twitter today, and I actually had to do some reading on it. I haven't done in-depth reading, but I had to do some reading on it. People were talking about the loss that came with the pandemic that is almost not clear. Mm-hmm. Like, it almost doesn't have an end to it. And they defined it as ambiguous loss, which some people are trying to grapple with the fact that the life that they had in 2019, they almost can't even remember it, and it's not even coming back. That the loss that so many people, the life, like, it's something everyone's dealing with, but you don't even know what's next. We don't know. And so that was interesting to me. So those were the different kinds of grief that I read about. But it does give an understanding.
Yeah, it really does. I think when I first thought about grief, you know, we all hear about the five stages of grief, right? The five stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. I think people talk about the stages a lot, but when I was grieving, I was like, no, I feel all of these like all mixed up. It's not linear. It's not, I'm going to feel this, then that. It's like, I felt all of the emotions at the same time and it's ongoing. Mm. And then there are triggers that would come up when you least expect it. Like the wave of emotion, it like just knocks you out and you're just like, so my friend who I lost, like, she was someone I worked with, a friend, and someone who I used to climb with. And so it's like three intersections of a relationship with this person. And it was really tough for me. I mean, I've lost my grandparents before, but I've never felt this sort of grief before. And it was hard to explain and hard to understand because I couldn't explain why I was feeling the way that I do, you know?
It was also sudden.
It was a sudden loss. It was a tragic climbing accident.
Yes.
Which also hit like the climbing community.
Right.
So it's, like I said, like the intersection like made it that much harder. And I just remember feeling, I think one of the stages that they were talking about was like bargaining, right? Like ruminating on the future or past, or overthinking, worrying, like saying, I should have done this, if only I did that. And then so you fear or you feel a lot of like anxiety, insecurity, fear that something's going to happen, shame, blame, like all of those feelings. And I remember just not wanting to be around people who didn't know her, which was like, it's hard to explain that to like to your friends or your partner, because unless you've like really felt that, I don't think you would really understand, you know. It just makes me feel so heavily for those who were closer to her, her family, her partner. And then, but like, you're also grieving at the same time and you're like, yeah, but she was my friend. Like, you feel like she was going to be here forever, you know?
Right. Right. I totally get that.
Yeah.
And, there's something you mentioned about triggers. There's actually a term, grief trigger, that does exist. And grief triggers can be anything. And when it triggers you, it can just, all this emotion can just show up. And it can be even something as small as a perfume.
Yeah.
Like someone's perfume or, and I don't want us to like, I don't want to like just really focus on like death of people as a loss, but there's all kinds of losses that, you know, people face. And just like Jenny asked me before, and I said that for the past 20 years, I've been dealing with different kind of losses. But the most maybe immediate loss that Jenny and I probably share in, but maybe different, we did our own different path along that, was just getting into your identity. There's things you're going to grieve, you know, for me, it wasn't like even finding out I'm gay. It was acknowledging to myself, being honest to myself, with myself, about the fact that I get attracted to women. And in voicing that to myself, there's a certain loss that I faced. There's a, because in that moment I knew, one, and I don't know why people like to say that being gay is a choice. Mm-hmm. There is no way, and I can assure all of you that are listening, that there is no way being gay is a choice. If it was a choice, I could never choose to be gay. Because what the heck? People don't like you. You know, I come from a society that where rules were really cemented during the colonial times. Mm-hmm. A lot of the law in Uganda right now and the culture, the culture shape or the cultural structures of Uganda right now are based on the British colonial systems. Yeah. The British are the ones that introduced these homophobic laws in Uganda on the basis of Christianity. I don't have anything against Christianity, but it's one of the most homophobic religions in the world as we live right now. And so a lot of what I think Ugandans right now say, oh, this is our culture, it's just actually Christian culture, which was brought by the British. And over the years, the British no longer practice some of these laws that they cemented in many of the countries that they colonized. But I think in that moment, I knew, okay, Mary, you're gay. I had to grieve. I had to grieve the fact that my family would reject me. I had to go through that grief, that loss of, you know, I'm always happy for my cousins when they get married. I'm like, happy, happy, your wedding. Ooh, we're going to have a good time. But in that moment, I was like, if I fall in love with somebody and I want to spend the rest of my life with them, I don't think my family is going to welcome me with open arms. I had to grieve that.
Yeah.
I had to grieve. Because, you know, when you are trying to appear straight and trying to appear femme, there's all this, like, you're not trying to navigate being gay. But then suddenly I felt like I could be comfortable. I could, you know, wear what I wanted to wear and be comfortable. But I had to grieve. And I think you went through the same kind of, not based on your culture, but there's certain things you had to grieve.
Yeah. I think you touched on it. Like, immediately you have these thoughts of who you were before and who you are now. And the, like, you can never go back after. When you are ready to accept your, like, authentic self in that moment, I'm just like, my friends aren't gonna think of me the same, my family won't think of me the same, you know. I think you have all of these thoughts that go through your head, and yeah, you're right, you're like grieving this is our truer selves, but you have left the old Jenny that I've been, or I have left the old Jenny that I have known for 33 years, because that's not me anymore. It is me, but it's a different me now. And yeah, you grieve like what you've been used to. You're grieving the comfort, I guess that's like part of it too.
The comfort.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wasn't even thinking about it that way, but it is a comfort.
Yeah. It is. And maybe it gets to a point where it's not comfortable anymore because it's not your true identity. So then you step outside of that because you're like, wait, this doesn't feel aligned. Or wait, this is something new about me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. There. What type of grief is that you're talking about?
The one where we lose who we are. And, and I think it's no more grief.
Oh, I see.
I feel like it's no more grief. Yeah. But I think where you lost your friend and I lost my mom, that was sudden loss.
Yeah, that's sudden loss.
Yeah, that was sudden loss.
And that's the one with like the trauma.
Yeah, that's the one. Because I also had trauma from that experience. Yeah.
I know that one is tough because, like, yeah, it's sudden.
Yeah.
Unexpected.
Unexpected. Yeah. It leaves you in shock.
Yeah. It does leave you in shock.
Yeah. And even in all this, I just want to just emphasize that grief is not, like, working through your grief is not going to be clear cut.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen because I follow this step, then I go to this step, and then I go to this step. But then there are things we can do that can help us cope. Mm-hmm. Because grief for you can look very, very different. For me, like, your, you know, grief process or your thought process around grieving can look extremely different from mine. My process might be short or might be long. Mm-hmm. Your process might be short or it might be long. Yeah. And I think it's in being patient with yourself in that moment.
Yeah.
'Cause I remember I had intense therapy sessions. Like, I was...
Well, it's very intense emotions that come up.
Yeah, I was in grief. I was in all kinds of therapy and I was facing all kinds of losses. Like, all kinds. Well, all kinds is hyperbole. But also, I was... I feel like at the time of coming into my identity, we were also, as a globe or as the earth, we were also experiencing ambiguous loss. Yeah. Because suddenly the world stopped. Okay, not on its axis, but, you know, economic structures and way of life stopped. You know, I remember we talking about flattening the curve and everyone was inside. People lost their incomes. But even outside of that, people died. I remember being so stressed out by the deaths in Italy. Like, people were dying. But, you know, I was facing that ambiguous loss. Then I was facing the normal grief from having to work through my identity. And I remember having this conversation with my therapist at that time. And I was explaining to her how homophobic Uganda is. And anticipating, like, the reactions from, let's say, my dad. And, you know, my dad's family. And basically the laws in Uganda, you get killed, you get lynched by people, get thrown into jail for 10 years. And I remember, you know, having those discussions and how painful it was that I could never have a relationship in the same way after I've come out with my family. And I do remember her telling me that at this point, you have to think about your safety.
Yeah.
And if being with your family is not safe or being in your country is not going to be safe for you, then you have to be okay with grieving family.
That's heavy.
That was very heavy. I remember getting a panic attack in that moment. I think I appreciate that I appreciate that, like, she was able to say that to me, because then I started the process of grieving my family and understanding. And I think I started to read about it and then understanding that my family might never accept me for who I authentically am.
Yeah.
But I've got chosen family. I've got, you know, Jenny and her partner. I've got all my other friends and my sister. And those, it can never be the same, but that's my family now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a process. I mean, I can talk about it now without crying.
Yeah.
Because it was a process. I had to work therapy. It was a lot of therapy. Yeah.
And at the same time, while you're working through that process, it's your brain is changing.
It is.
Right? One of the things that I was reading in this article is that something that we do know about grief is that it's tied to all sorts of different brain functions that we have, from being able to recall memories to taking the perspective of another person, or to things like regulating our heart rate and the experience of pain and suffering. So it's just so many different parts of the brain, like, are orchestrating, like, this experience that we have, like, when we feel grief. So scientifically, your body and your brain, they're, it's all changing as you're like processing emotionally too, you know?
That's just how traumatic grief can be. Because it changes your brain, how your brain is processing everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm glad you brought up a lot of like the different types of grief too, because we don't really think about, like, especially with the ambiguous grief, like I never thought of that, you know? And if you're able to like recognize these types of grieving or grief, it's easier to understand what someone is going through, or to just know that we need to heal even more and to hold people, right? So I want to talk about like how you can support someone while they're grieving, because I think that's really hard. It's hard to sit with like difficult emotions, and this is something that I also was feeling with like my family or friends or partner during my time of like grieving. Like, how do you support that person when maybe at times it doesn't feel like they're not accepting it? And I was reading this other article saying that it's really about listening to them and seeing where they're at than it is trying to make them feel better. I think a lot of people think that they need to cheer them on to make them feel better from grieving, but the point is to be with them and let them know that you're going to be with them, you know? And I really like this. It said that let them know that you can imagine a future for them where they're not constantly being knocked over by the waves of grief. Mm-hmm. So not necessarily like making them feel better, but just being there and just letting them know that you're going to be here for them.
Like holding space, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah.
It's like you sit with them. That's really very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
maybe some of our listeners have not experienced loss, maybe in a profound way. I think there are so many people who are dealing with ambiguous loss right now.
Mm-hmm.
And just holding space for people,
mm-hmm.
you know, who are grieving. And that's actually very, like when you said that, like, not trying to make people feel better, because you, in that moment, you can't. There's nothing you can say or do.
There's nothing
that could. There's nothing that could mitigate the loss in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like about 2017, because I couldn't even sleep.
Yeah,
I couldn't sleep at night for a long time.
Yeah,
I was scared that I was gonna die in the night. That was my traumatic response to my mother's death. But I do remember, I do spend a lot of time on Twitter. It's incredible the amount of time I spend on Twitter. But I do remember being on Twitter, I think it was 2017, and someone had written a thread about grief. And basically the whole summary of the thread was grief never ever goes away. And it made so much sense to me. But the person likened grief to, it's like when you have a big box,
mm-hmm.
and when you've just experienced loss and you're going through grief. So there's like this box and there's a big ball, a very big ball in the box. And there's little space between the edge of the ball and the insides of the box. So any slight movement, the ball is going to hit the sides of the box. And that's the pain, the grieving wave that you feel.
Every little thing.
Every little movement.
Will shake that.
Yes. Any slight movement to that box, that ball is going to hit the sides. And that's like the triggers, the emotion, the waves. But then with time, that ball gets smaller and smaller and smaller, but the ball doesn't disappear. It becomes so small and can keep moving about in the box, but never really hitting the edge of the books. But one day something can happen, a big move, and that ball will hit the side of the box, yeah, however small it is. And then you'll experience
grief again.
Grief again, or that wave of emotion. And it made so much sense to me in that moment, because it was 2017, right after my mother had passed. I could never conceive that I could talk about my mother's death without ever crying.
Yeah.
But it gave me hope that in the future, that ball will be small.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to go about my life without crying.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be able to do things without crying. And it was so much hope. And now I can say with confidence that, yes, the ball gets smaller and you can go about life, and that ball will be, you know, floating around in the air, in the box, buoyant in the box, never really hitting the edge. But one day or some days it can get triggered. And there's weird days when I'll be crying.
Yeah.
But it's a small ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of time.
Yeah.
Time is a beautiful thing. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah. I like that. Really paints the picture. But yeah, it brings it back to our point. What we said earlier, grief is forever. Like it stays with you.
Mm. It does stay with you.
Yeah.
And so I know you've talked about like how you can support a friend, but even us who are experiencing losses, and I want to say that loss can be anything. You can lose your job, you can lose your house, you can lose your marriage, you can. And even like young kids also go through loss, you know, they could lose their, like, you lose your best friend. I don't mean your best friend dies, but like your friend stops talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
That kid is going to grieve a little bit, maybe not to a large extent, but you know, there's some sort of loss right there. And it's different and will happen at different times. Like I remember the first loss. Okay, for me, I have grieved the concept of family.
Yeah.
Over a couple of years. And the first time that I grieved the concept of family is when, like, my dad secretly got married to another woman without telling my mom. I saw what it did to my mom. But for me, I lost the concept of family as I understood it from when I was born, which to me is a unit where people trust and love each other. And suddenly in that moment, I recall clearly 2010, the concept of family changed for me forever.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, you know, I've kept on grieving family in different ways. You know, I've been living away from my family for 9 years now.
Yeah.
No one ever tells you, but immigration can be a kind of loss. And as I was reading up in ambiguous loss, they said immigration, you know, falls under the can, because you lose everything as you know it, you know, start afresh.
That's your home country.
Yeah.
You know?
It is. Yeah. And like now even me, you know, being
but like, yeah,
black queer woman, I know I can never be safe back home.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to share like ways that anyone that's grieving can sort of cope.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember you talking about grief triggers, which is like the ball hitting the sides of the box. And some of the things that helped me or have helped me over the years, resting helps, because crying is exhausting.
It's exhausting, yeah.
So resting helps. Rest your body, rest your mind. Connect with others. I think And I'm so thankful for my friends, because during that time, I remember in 2017 when my friends were there. They came, made sure I could go out, I could eat. So it won't make you happy, but it's a welcome distraction to connect with others.
Yeah.
Ask for support. I think that's very important. Like at the time when we tried to record grief before.
Yeah.
And then you just ended up talking about how you were feeling and, you know, asking for that support.
Yeah.
But also saying, I need some time alone. You know, like voicing out some of those things. For many of us, when we're grieving, we like to self-medicate. It's the easy path out. And by self-medicate, I mean some drugs, some alcohol, I don't know, eating.
Yeah.
That's a self-medication too. But I think it's in that moment that I think we need to avoid self-medication, because you can go down a path of dependence on something without really addressing the pain that's coming from grief. It's very easy. It's very, like, I'm an emotional eater. I know that, like, if I got very upset, it's very easy for me to say, let me go get a cookie. Mm-hmm. Because in that moment, something feel good emotion.
Yeah.
But it's in those moments that I think we have to avoid self-medication, because you can get some dependence. Because you're raw and you're vulnerable and you're hurting. It's easy to depend on something like that for a quick feel good thing.
Yeah.
And avoid the pain. And the pain is important, not because it's good, but because it will help you address everything that comes out from that loss. Anyway, those are my tips.
Yeah. No, I think that's really good. This is a heavy topic.
Pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
That I think is absolutely important is taking care of your spirituality. And when I say spirituality, I don't mean Christianity or Islam. I just mean your spiritual being, like taking care of that spiritual being. And it can look different for different people. For someone else, being spiritual might mean taking time to meditate. For someone else, it might mean working out. Mm-hmm. For someone else, praying.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else, like, let's say for Christians, their go-to would probably be praying or singing, you know, worship music. It will look different for everyone. But sometimes finding solace in spirituality can be comforting during those moments when loss doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. I like that. Well, I don't know. I feel like all of the above is queerly noted, because there are just so many layers to grief. It's a very complicated, triggering, and heavy topic.
And it's okay to grieve.
Yeah.
It's really okay to grieve.
Yeah. And to be open about it.
Yeah. It's an emotion that's pretty uncomfortable, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Be patient. Let yourself feel every emotion and cry.
Mm-hmm.
And send us an email if you need someone just to listen or to hold space for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really believe in feeling everything, feeling all of the negative emotion. No, you know what? I'm not going to say negative emotions, because they're not negative. Whatever feeling you're feeling is how you should be feeling. All of your feelings are valid, whether that's anger, sadness, depression, you know, numbness, all of that. You should be feeling all of that. But yeah, I think asking for support, even if you don't want it, connecting, even if that's just a distraction, I think that's really good to remember. But yeah.
I like what you've said, feeling the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
As a 7, I just like to lean into happy moments. But mm-hmm. I'm telling you, learning to sit in pain sometimes and experiencing it, and because pain is a signal that something is not right.
Mm-hmm.
It has made me a better human being.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening to this heavy topic with us. I think this is very difficult. It was a lot more difficult it's still difficult, and it comes up, emotions will come up, but I'm glad that we were able to finally talk about this, because I this is a very important topic for me that I really want to talk about, and I know that you really want to talk about this too. So
it's basically doing life in community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holding space for grief.
Yeah.
We love you so much.
Love you.
Till next time.
Bye.
If you want to support Queerly,
follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you, so please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Queerly Community. That's QUEERLYQMUNITY.
Love y'all!